This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thanks for tuning in. You know, there was so much hype around Netflix Defenders, and I'm not sure if it lived up to it. And they also announced Narcos, and what about Amazon's The Tick? Joining me to talk about these is editor at HollywoodandToto.com, Christian Toto. Thanks for joining me, Christian.
Sure, no problem.
You know what, before we get into like new releases on like streaming services, could you give me your thoughts on the Defenders?
Yeah, you know, I've found it satisfying so far. It's not my favorite Netflix show, and I think the original Daredevil kind of ranks at the top of my personal list. But, you know, I think you want to get these characters together, and you want to see them fighting together, and that's what the show is doing. Of course, it takes a while to get there, as a lot of these series take a sweet time when it gets to telling the real story. So you have to kind of sit through a couple episodes before that really happens. But once it does, I found it kind of scratched the comic book itch. The sort of inner geek in me was enjoying it.
I actually watched the whole thing, and I was kind of disappointed in it. I mean, if it wasn't for my three-episode rule where I have to give everything three episodes, I would have stopped watching it. Iron Fist was a little hard to watch. Did you think the same thing, or am I just overanalyzing?
Well, you know, I think he's the weakest link of the four. I think Jessica Jones is interesting. I think, you know, Luke Cage has got an intensity to him, and Daredevil is so complicated. Iron Fist, you know, sort of a rich guy with some superpowers, and he doesn't have that charisma, doesn't have that sort of, I need to watch this character like the other three have. So he's definitely the weakest. I've heard so many bad things about his particular run on Netflix and the character. I was ready to be disappointed, so it wasn't that shocking for me. But overall, if you're looking at these four heroes, he's certainly the guy that could be trimmed in a future Defenders, and you wouldn't lose too much sleep over it.
I kind of agree with that. You know, Iron Fist, he was just so hard to, he was the weakest link of them. I actually thought it would have been a little bit better if it was just Daredevil and Jessica Jones. I mean, Luke Cage, he was pretty good, but it really, I think their character development when it comes to Jessica Jones and Daredevil, they just had more of it there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the whole product is, let's get an Avengers-like group together. So you don't know what's going to happen until you get them on screen. And those particular actors did a really good job of connecting and having some friction. And that's what you want to see. I mean, you know, I remember the Avengers, the first film, they spent half the movie fighting each other. Well, there's a little bit of that here, too. So, yeah, you want to see them eventually get along. And I have to say, listen, it's a lot of moving parts. And I think overall Netflix has done a pretty good job of setting things in motion, making those connections, but it's not perfect. And I think it'd be darn near impossible to make all these things work fluidly unless you had the same creative team, the same directing team, the same writing team. And you don't really have that. You've got all these different forces who are trying to get on the same page, but it's not quite there.
Do you think they'll do another Defenders, or you think it's just going to separate into their own different series again?
I think they may do it. You know, Netflix is tricky because they don't really have traditional ratings. So we don't know exactly what their metrics are. They keep it in-house. They know what's being streamed and not being streamed. So it may come down to that. I would think this is a very difficult project to pull off because of all those different characters and the actors involved. So getting them on the same page is tricky. So, you know, if the demand is there, if this is sort of lighting up social media for several weeks, I think that will kind of force their hand and make it happen. But right now, you know, we've got the Punisher coming in a couple months. You've got the new season of Daredevil is going to start filming very soon, and new seasons of Luke Cage and also Jessica Jones are on the way. So, you know, getting all these people together on the same stage, it's not going to be easy, even if they really want to do it.
You know, another show that I think's been out there, like at least when it comes to advertisement and promos, is The Tick on Amazon Prime. Did you get a chance to watch it yet?
I haven't, no. It's funny, there's so many good shows on. I'm kind of just drowning in all the possibilities, and I feel guilt for all the shows I missed. But, yeah, that one's getting some good word of mouth, and it's intriguing. And, I think anything that takes the kind of the superhero genre and gives it a little bit of a twist or spin, I'm in. I mean, I think, you know, we're seeing so much of it, so there's a lot of things you can kind of play with all those different tropes.
Yeah, the only reason I was even going to give it a chance is because I remember the cartoon from when I was a kid. And it was always kind of weird. And one of the cartoon characters, I should have looked this up beforehand, but it was a dude with a chair on his head. And I think he was just called The Chair. So I'm kind of looking forward to the series to see some of the weird supervillains that they have. And but I've only watched one episode, but I like it so far.
Yeah, you know what's amazing about superheroes is not only are we not bored with them, whether it's the Marvel movies or DC or Netflix, there's so much potential. They've got so many storytelling opportunities. It could be a straight-on superhero movie. It could be dark, conflicted characters like Jessica Jones. Or it could be something kind of goofy, making fun of this whole process. And that's where The Tick comes in.
One of the things I've noticed on Amazon Prime is that I guess I get free apps. And one of them is Acorn TV. And have you seen, I think you talked about that last time we spoke. And I was like, I'm going to give it a chance. And I love it. I mean, what exactly is Acorn TV, though? I mean, will it have anything other than, like, I guess, true crime TV shows?
It's really that British programming. That's its main focus. I think there may be some Australian shows in there as well. So it's overseas content. But, you know, a lot of the overseas stuff is excellent. High quality, lots of seasons, you know. So if you've seen everything on Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, and I don't know how that person even exists because there's so much great content out there, yeah, check out Acorn. I think it's got a really cool selection. And, again, something different. You know, I think some of the overseas programming is a little more thoughtful, maybe a little slower in pace and not as sort of, you know, rat-a-tat-tat as we love in America. So, you know, if you're looking for a different pacing, you know, give that a try. Of course, you're going to get a little bit more droll, dry humor, too, but it's never a bad thing.
You're right about the pacing. I started watching this one cop crime show. It's called Vera, obviously because of my middle name. And I started watching it, and it's four episodes to a season, and every episode is an hour and a half. And it didn't dawn on me until like season three. I was like, these are mini movies. And a lot of British shows do that. Do you know why they choose, instead of doing the half hour model, they're almost making movies?
I don't know exactly. I do know that for these kind of shows, you can often get an actor or actress involved with it if you have a kind of a shorter commitment time, saying, hey, Benedict Cumberbatch, you can do more Sherlock TV shows, but we'll make the series shorter. We'll make them like an hour, hour and a half, and we'll go from there. So I think it offers the creative teams a little bit more flexibility. But, I think sometimes there's a sort of a things kind of have momentum on their own. So in America, it used to be, you know, 22 episodes per year, that was TV, and now it's getting to, like, between 8 and 12. So it might just be what the culture is overseas, where that's acceptable, that's the way to promote it, that's the way it's been. But other than that, I'm not quite sure, but it can change. I mean, we've seen a lot of change domestically, and maybe that format works the best for fans, where they get these kind of mini-movies, and they can kind of digest it that way.
Yeah, I think it's kind of best for me, too, because as a fan, I really like the shorter series model, because then I don't know, it feels like more quality shows rather than an episode being a filler, because you get that a lot when it's 22-24 episodes a year. It feels like a good eight episodes doesn't progress the story at all.
I think it's a great trend that's going on. I think the storytellers don't have to kill themselves to kind of fill out that schedule. They can put the best in there, and I don't see a downside. And a lot of it also attracts some of the movie actors, you know. Years ago, Nicole Kidman was a movie star. She wouldn't be doing TV, and Reese Witherspoon. But now these actors love to do the TV shows. They get credibility, they get awards, and they get to act in really solid, compelling stories. And, you know, they can do it without giving up their film careers.
Do you think that maybe streaming has caused, at least in the American market, for people to look at, or executives to look at, hey, we should do shorter models for, like, episodes rather than the long 22 season episodes?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think everything is in flux right now, and everything's a potential, you know, to change. What I think what we're seeing in the big screen is, you know, a lot of these franchises and sequels and things, in a way, that's their version of the TV model, where they can keep these stories going. They can kind of keep the same characters and tell sort of fluid tales that don't stop and start at the two-hour mark. So I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing what we're seeing on the big screen, and I think it's a direct influence on what we're seeing in the small screen. I mean, once those TV shows kept the narrative flowing through a season or even a couple seasons, I think everything changed. It got more sophisticated and nuanced, and even the actors got locked into their roles. So if you play a two-hour movie, you can only do so much with a role. But if you're on for three seasons, you just get better, you get to know the character, you get to experience him or her, and I think the audiences recognize that.
You know, one of the things I liked about streaming services is that it's almost like a finite show. You know that it's going to end, you know, and that's kind of nice because I would hate to think of like Alias or, you know, Lost, like all these people. Like I just wanted the show to end. I invested all this time, but damn it, I want it to end. And when it comes to streaming like shows, they actually have a beginning and an end. You know automatically, hey, there's a season one, there's a season two, and then that's it. There's one particular show, it's called Narcos, and it was on Netflix, and I remember they said, oh, it was only going to be two seasons. It's going to tell the story of Pablo Escobar, and then that's it. And recently, they announced that Narcos is getting a season three. I don't know if I kind of like that, because after Pablo died, I mean, what more could you say about it?
Well, it's funny. I think for years, Hollywood would keep a series alive if the ratings were strong. So even a great show like Frasier, the last couple of seasons wasn't as good. The creative well is kind of spent, but because it was getting ratings, they would do that. So I think there's sort of a mix now where a lot of these shows are actually voluntarily ending, like a great show like Breaking Bad or The Sopranos. The creators say, hey, this story is done. We're going to stop. But there's always that other impulse, like, well, we're making money, and the people love it, and it's getting attention, and it's getting ratings or streams, and why wouldn't we continue it? So I think there's kind of a pulse and push and pull between the creative side and the financial side, and sometimes the financial side wins out.
Yeah, I think here in here it's probably the same case, but I'm still going to look forward to it because luckily they named it Narcos instead of Pablo Escobar, so they can at least continue with other, you know, cartels and stuff.
That's right. They got some flexibility. You know, new villains, and sometimes that can resurrect the show or bring in new blood. You never know if the characters are locked in and they've got new adventures and new settings, and it could be just as worthwhile as the first couple seasons or even better, but, you know, we shall see.
Speaking of new blood, is there any upcoming movies or TV shows that we should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the buzz for September is in the movie It, the Stephen King adaptation. Now, you may have seen the 1990 miniseries that was on TV a while back, and that was pretty good for the era. And, of course, Tim Curry was great as Pennywise the Clown. Now this is a big-screen adaptation. There's lots of buzz about it. The early reviews look strong. The trailer is creepy, as you can imagine. And so that one's sort of getting a lot of the attention. They're saying it could be a big box office hit. But I'm also curious about something else coming out. It's called American Assassin. It's based on a series of books by Vince Flynn. And its co-stars Michael Keaton. So you got some spy games. You got a little bit of summer action movie going in September. And that could kind of be fun and interesting. And maybe that'll start a new franchise. You never know.
Ooh, I haven't heard of that one. Could you give me a little bit more about it? Like, besides it just being like an assassin movie?
Yeah, it's got follows a CIA black ops operative trying to take out some, I don't know if they're terrorists, but they're sort of bent on creating World War III. And Michael Keaton isn't a star, but he's kind of the mentor to the main character played by Dylan O'Brien. So I haven't read the source material, but a lot of people like the books by Vince Flynn. So I think there's some eagerness to that particular project. And, you know, anytime Michael Keaton's on the screen on there, he's one of our best actors.
Well, you know what? It's funny. I don't really like Michael Keaton too much, but I love assassin movies. So maybe I'll become a Michael Keaton fan from it.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much, Christian, for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. And for those that are listening, where can they find you at?
My website is hollywoodintoto.com.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.